Today we celebrate the elevation, the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross. It is a commemoration of an historical event of the rediscovery in the 4th century of the actual wood of the precious cross by St. Helen. We Christians celebrate the cross not just on this holy day, but at all times and places, on each day we remember who we are. We remember who we are when on any day, as on this day, in the words of St. John Kochurov, we loudly exclaim gratitude to the one who was crucified for us. We loudly exclaim gratitude to the one who was crucified for us. We Christians are disciples and followers of the crucified Savior, our Lord and God in Jesus Christ. God who came down and was killed. God who became man and died as a man. God who took flesh and suffered terribly in that flesh. God who faced evil impassively without resistance became the victim of evil. The victim of evil. Passive non-violence, passive non-resistance to evil is not typically the way of men. It's not the way humans act. We fight back. We push back, we hit back, even in desperation, even when outnumbered, an eye for an eye. The people from whom Jesus was born, the Jews, were always fighting, always resisting their enemies for centuries. And so they continue to do today. And many wanted Jesus to fight. They wanted him to fight, to organize a rebellion, to rise up for justice against the Roman oppressor. But he did not fight. He did not fight for justice. He did not stand up for the oppressed, as many wanted, not in the way they wanted. He did not affect political change. He did not affect political change. Only Constantine, the son of St. Helen, would do that 3 centuries later, however. And in this sign conquer, the sign of the cross, only then, was there political change. And they said to him, "If you are the Christ, come down from the cross, that we might believe. Show us something. Show us divine power. Then we will be impressed." The cross appeared to be the utter failure of Jesus. The cross is a paradox, an anomaly to human reason. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Yes, we preach foolishness. A crucified leader of our faith, a crucified leader. In the face of evil, and of continued horror stories in the news, both men, both near and far, and of the general outlook of the world, we may say to ourselves, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God act? Why doesn't God smite evil? Avenge injustice? It was said of the elder Paisius that he became disturbed, that he learned in spirit of the Romanian Revolution in 1989 to cast off their oppressor, their dictator, and the elder was disturbed that many were dying, many Christians were dying on both sides of that argument, both for the good and for fighting for evil. And he no doubt went and prayed deeply for them all. So there's a reaction to the news that we could emulate. But why doesn't God act? Why doesn't God smite evil? He did do something. He did do something. He hung on the cross. He hung on the cross. And some days, that doesn't seem good enough for us. Passive non-resistance to evil is unimpressive. It's hard to grasp. When Christ told the apostles he was going up to Jerusalem to be killed, they didn't hear it, or they didn't want to hear it. It was for them an admission of impending defeat and failure. Yes, we follow a God who became man to bring God's message as close as possible to us, and we follow a God humbled on the cross, even humiliated on the cross. As I heard a priest say this week on a podcast, ours is not a religion of conquest, but of the cross. Of the cross. Not a religion of conquest, but of the cross. We much prefer conquest. We like winning. We like winners. America is all about winning. We fight and we win wars. We don't like to lose. We don't like losers. We want to be on the winning team. When our team's not winning, we don't go to the games. We stay home. In fact, the world, if it believes in a God at all, prefers a fighting God. A fighting God, a fire and brimstone God, not a humble God, certainly not a humiliated God. It prefers a God who smites evil, who avenges injustice. Of course, that means killing in the name of God. And our unbelieving critics argue that that's all religion is about, killing in the name of God. That's certainly true of one prominent religion, but not of this one. Not of this one. It has been said that while many groups fight for their religion, that the Orthodox die for theirs. No, that's not an exact description of our history, but it's close to it. Christian Byzantium and Tsarist Russia, the two greatest Orthodox civilizations in terms of worldly power, fought very few aggressive attacking wars. Most of their wars were fought in defense. In defense, to resist invasion, as my patron St. Alexander Nevsky resisted and fought against the Germans and the Swedes who wanted to bring Russia under the Pope. But we don't understand a humble God. We don't understand a humble God on the world stage. We don't want a humble God, typically, unless he's humble with our sins. With our sins. Unless he's humble with our sins and the treatment of our sins and failures and shortcomings, he is welcome to smack around the evildoers all he wants, as long as he's passive and peaceful and forgiving of our sins and gentle with our sins. And so he is. And so he is. And so he reveals to us on the cross. Humility is the foundation and essence of Christianity, says St. Macarius the Great. Humility is revealed on the cross. A humble God. A humble God. But as someone I worked with used to say, don't confuse kindness with weakness. Don't confuse kindness with weakness. So don't confuse humility with weakness. God's kindness and humility is from a point of strength. From a point of strength yet to be revealed. Yet to be revealed fully. But God's humility is perplexing for proud man. As St. Paul tells us, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And his power is made perfect in weakness. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not as the world wants, nor as it values, but as it still so desperately needs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.